And welcome back to the Film Reel cast. It's a Wednesday and wow, it's going to struggle this week for enthusiasm because we are reviewing a absolute pile of shit. I normally don't play my hand earlier of what's going to happen and how I'm going to review this. You'll probably get the actual theme of it from start to finish, I should think. And I'm just going to introduce our co-hosts. Obviously, we've got Countdown Kelly. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Not bad. That's a very prompt reply. I'm really impressed. Okay, we've gone back to you fucking taking ages. There you go, the countdown clock. That's the reason why we do it, folks. It's not bullying. It's just trying to fucking get the bleeding obvious, which is a reply to a question. But I will move on because we don't have all night. Someone who does actually reply straight away when I answer him. Steve, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad. Welcome back to the Film Reelcast podcast. It's nice to have you back again.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Absolute pleasure to be here this evening for this blockbuster of a film.
Before we get into this piece of genius film, did you go and see Godzilla and King Kong?
No, I didn't actually.
You didn't in the end? Oh, it's a good film. Good film. I really enjoyed it. I was well surprised. And have you seen Monkey Man yet?
It's Dev Patel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that actually looks really good, to be fair.
Yeah, it does look superb. I was going to go and see it on Friday night tickets, but I had to cancel it due to work commitments, which was rather annoying. But I am going to go and see it at some point. And Civil War, I'm going to go and see that this weekend. Have you seen the trailer for that?
Yeah, I was trying to see times that it was on at Odeon, but I couldn't find anything. Is it released?
It is released, I think, tomorrow. It's on kind of all day, like multiple viewings, IMAX and in iSense and stuff like that. So they're hitting it hard tomorrow.
Cool. Yeah, I'll check it out.
Yeah, do you know about cinemas, Kel? Are you aware of the invention? They show films and things like that?
Yes, I'm aware. Thank you very much. I just don't go to them very often.
You surprise me. You really, really do surprise me. And for anyone who hasn't seen the Child's Play films, obviously it's going to be foul language, definitely, in this podcast, trust me. When we talk about this film, it's going to be hard not to get passionate in not a positive way. And it'll be obviously stupid behaviour. If you're insulted by that, well, I would say listen to another podcast, but they're all exactly the same. So you're kind of stuffed, really. Why did you choose the film we're doing, The Cult of Chucky? Why did you choose Cult of Chucky?
I chose it because I've never seen a Chucky film, and it's the first one that I saw that came up on Netflix, and I thought, why not? Because Chucky is supposed to be quite scary, quite grim, quite horrible. It was banned, I think, the original one, so I thought maybe this one might be good. I regret that decision, and I regretted it quite early on, but still I stuck with it. So
how many minutes into this film did you regret that decision?
About 1 minute 3 seconds.
Fantastic. And Steve, have you seen any of the other Child's Play films?
Actually, I haven't. No, I'm fully aware of Chucky growing up. I'm sure it was on like in the background or something. But no, dolls and shit. Yeah, I'm not a fan, so it doesn't appeal to me.
I'd seen the original one, obviously being an old fart like I am, back in 1988. Obviously, there are 8 films. You've got Child's Play in 88, Child's Play 2 in 1990, 91, you've got Child's Play 3, then you've got 1998, A Bride of Chucky. Then you've got 2004, Seed of Chucky. 2013, Curse of Chucky. Then our one, 2017, Cult of Chucky. And then they did remake, I think, with Aubrey Plaza, which I've seen that from Park and Rec. Child's Play in 2019, which, to be fair, it's not bad. It's quite a good kind of reboot of the franchise. And I found from watching this film, I didn't really know about the origins of it. I know it's obviously a doll that's possessed. Everyone knows that. And it's the serial killer who's obviously goes around possessing when he gets killed. It's Charles Lee Ray, the Lakeshore Strangler, who when he dies, is chased into the shop and then he kind of does some kind of cult spell and his soul goes into the Chucky doll. And that's how the whole thing starts. Anyone who hasn't seen it, or been living in a kind of cave or under a rock. But there was a lot more to this film that didn't make sense. So thanks to Kelly, I ended up going back and watching The Curse of Chucky, And then I realized some of that in that film didn't make sense either, and I'm missing a bit. So I then watched The Bride of Chucky, and then the way The Bride of Chucky ended, which obviously brought us Tiffany Valentine, where she was properly introduced, it then went on to The Seed of Chucky. So just doing this one film, I ended up watching four fucking Child's Play films, thanks to you, Kelly.
You're welcome. You clearly have a lot of free time on your hands with nothing better to do.
It's not to explain. No, I do have a lot of free time on my hands, but I wanted it to make sense, and I wanted on the podcast to actually explain or understand what I'm actually talking about. It's not a complicated film, but there are references that meant nothing to me. So I just wanted to know why they were introducing these characters and who they are, because I had no idea when they spoke about Tiffany Valentine who she was. Did you guys?
Not
Nope.
initially, no.
No, exactly. So it's always good to know, even if in a shit film like this, where they're coming from. But this film, the continuity they have got, because it's Don Mancini who did all of the films. At least it's not like on Marvel and other things where they kind of do a reboot and it's some unknown who they get in. They've got the continuity for the director and the writer of these films. It's just a really strange film, and it doesn't help doing it in the middle of franchise either. But for those who haven't seen this film, it's on Netflix in the UK. And the story is thus. After accused of murdering her family, Nika is taken to an asylum as she thinks that she's the cause of her family's deaths, as we saw in the previous Chucky films. However, when grisly deaths start to occur in the asylum, she realizes that Chucky is no longer an illusion and might be real. She also finds out that the doll is slowly starting to possess anyone and anything to join a large cult, killing loads of victims, as we will see. But things don't go well in the asylum, including for long-lost friend Andy, who sections himself, stupidly enough, and then just does nothing. But things get worse at the end of the film. Remember, this has got spoilers. When we see Nika, now possessed by Chucky, walking into the sunset with Tiffany to possibly lead us to another, God help us, Chucky film in the future. So there's a lot of kind of different dynamics of characters in that film that I just had no clue. And it starts off with Andy. And apparently Andy's been in loads of the films. He was in Child's Play 2. And there's lots of references to the different films that he's in. So Andy first appeared in 1988 in Child's Play, celebrating his sixth birthday. And he got a good guy doll for his birthday. He was then in Child's Play 2, where he was fostered because all of his family died and the babysitter. Then he was in Child's Play 3 when he was sent to military academy. And in this, when he moves that painting to get into the safe, that's where he's got Kent Military Academy, just for the continuity. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, there's a lot going on, isn't there? If by
There's a
this
hell of a
point,
lot going on. Yeah.
Kel and I are—we're seven films behind. I just didn't question anything. I just let it roll.
See, I always question stuff, don't I? It's annoying for me, trust me, it really is, because it made me having to watch four fucking Child's Play films.
But that's because you're just so good at what you do. Like me and Kelly, we're a bit more laid back. We are co-hosts, aren't we? So. We don't have to be. I'm not saying I'm not dedicated, but we don't need to do
Gotta
our
be careful.
we don't need to do our homework the same way you do. We just have to answer your questions and watch a film.
That's fair enough. Yeah, I get that. But in The Curse of Chucky, when they show a flashback on this, it's got Andy gets a package delivered and brings it inside. Before opening it, he receives a phone call from his mother, Karen. As Andy talks about his birthday dinner that he's going to have at Karen's place, Chucky cuts his way out of a box. This is in The Curse of Chucky, and ready to kill. And he turns around, and Andy's got a shotgun and he points it in his face. And before Chucky says anything, can react or possess him, Andy fires the shotgun. So that's why, when he's got Chucky in a box, it's because he shot him in the head and he's just keeping him. And he's got a plan because other Chuckies have been possessed. Because to me, it was really strange why this character, who I've got no idea who he is, has got a head of Chucky. It was really strange. But it honestly goes to fruition where he's trying to take out all of the other Chuckies. Because first of all, I thought well, he was a baddie. Did you guys?
At what point did you think he was a baddie? For what reason?
I didn't.
Because he had a Chucky's head in the safe and he was talking to it, that
Oh.
Chucky was telling him what to do. So he'd be like the messenger, like the conduit for Chucky to go around and do stuff. I thought that was the way it was going to go.
I just thought he was like almost keeping tabs on him because if he that way he knows where Chucky is, so Chucky can do no damage. And it was almost like kind of using him as a weird fucking fleshlight thing as well.
Yeah, I wondered if he was going to stick his dick in it. Plus, he's got
Oh
that slit as well,
no.
isn't he, in his
Yeah,
head?
because he has this date, and obviously this date doesn't go well. So he comes back home and he gets Chucky's head out and he sits there opposite and he goes, "Well, it's just you and me again." You know,
Yeah.
gets out a joint. So I was like, "Fuck me, we're gonna see some shit," but
Yeah,
we
I wanted
didn't.
Chucky to kind of go, no, please, not again, not again.
Would have made a completely different film, Early Doors.
He's so funny. And his date is a fucking train wreck, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah, I mean, it was a weird opening to a film. I thought I got it wrong. And it was really bad acting as well. Really bad.
Oh, it's terrible. His date's like something from Maths and Married at First Sight, isn't it? It's she just wants to, she goes on the internet and finds him and she just wants to date him. And his chat up lines and backstory is that all of his family and friends were killed by a doll. I mean, it's always going to end up with no bunk up, isn't it?
It's not like an attractive quality. Well, I imagine it's not anyway.
No, I mean, Kelly's very quiet, so maybe I'm wrong on that.
No, I can confirm that isn't an attractive quality at all. Not to me. I'm sure maybe to some people it might be, but personally, no, thank you.
Don't feel we have to say that just for the sake of the podcast, because we do know
I
you.
don't. I'm quite happy and honest to say what is an attractive, appealing thought about somebody, but no, that is not a good feature.
That's fair enough. I might add a soundbite in there, but that soundbite that says "I love cock," I might just put that in just for the sake of
You can take my me saying that in the last podcast and cut it in there. You
it.
could just take the sound bite from the last one. So you go for
I might do that. We're introduced. Our cast is obviously Nika Fiona Dyorf, who's from the previous one, where all of her family, her niece Alice is her niece, who she's referred to in the last one, and the last film, everyone dies. Alice gets adopted, and a Chucky doll gets sent by Tiffany to the grandmother who's adopted Alice. And it turns out that Chucky kills the grandmother and then possesses Alice, and she becomes like the killer. So to a certain degree, the soul of Charles Lee Ray is in Alice, and that's why he refers to, or I think it might be Tiffany refers to, the kids get hurt and she can only last so long. So the little girl's dead because she was no good. So that's the reference to the daughter that they get so upset about, that she was just used property. But it's a weird start because Nika is in the hospital because they believe she killed everyone and that she's mentally insane. And the last film ends with her in court laughing kind of out loud, cackling about Chucky and everyone thinking she's mad. I don't understand why they're doing the electric shock treatment. It doesn't really make sense. Is that to shock us as a viewer? I don't know why they're doing that.
Beats me. I think it's to set the tone early that she may be that crazy or painting her out to be crazy.
Think that's what it must be, because if you've watched the, kind of this all the way through, you'll learn that she's not crazy, and then you've got these guys not really giving a commentary on what they're doing, and they're just giving a good old-fashioned one flew over the cuckoo's nest electric shock treatment. It was a bit bizarre, and we learn that she's paralyzed from the waist downwards, so she has no feeling, which I want to talk about later on, so it doesn't make sense. And the reason why she is in a wheelchair is because her mum was like the victim of Charles Lee Ray. And she was pregnant with Nika, and Charles Lee Ray stabbed her in the stomach, injuring Nika and causing her to be in a wheelchair. So when she says, "I've been in a wheelchair all my life," it's because she was the original victim of Charles Lee Ray, who is Chucky. So that's the link, goes all the way back to the very first film. That kind of does make a lot more sense as to why she's in a wheelchair. And we're introduced to Dr. Foley, who is a massive creep. And a rapist, isn't he?
I mean, most people in this are creeps and sexual creeps, but yeah, he tops it.
He's awful, isn't he? And you know that he's a wrong'un just by the way he looks. He just looks like a proper wrong'un, doesn't he, Kel?
He does. He's got weird patronizing kind of tone in his voice as well. So you know he's kind of like trying to groom you into his way of thinking. He's just, yeah, a complete creep.
Yeah, they and Nick is in this asylum, and I really thought when I saw Nurse Ashley, I was expecting at some point in this film, boob. She's clearly just got that nurse's outfit on. It's extremely short. It opens at the thigh, and she's wearing maybe just a bra underneath. I thought later on in the film, we're going to get a boob. We're going to get a shower scene. But we were denied. I mean, what's that all about?
I'd like to say it's, just trying to add a bit of modesty to the film, but we see very soon, well, quite early on, that there is no modesty in such a film. But yeah, it's not your traditional nurse's outfit either. So it's almost like they're teasing you. Like, tease me, you're naughty.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking. It's something's gonna happen because of that. And I do like the characters, I have to say. Angela walks up to Nika, and Angela, bless her soul, is as mad as a box of frogs. She really, really is. And the conversation where she just walks up to people and says, like, don't be frightened of me. Anyone in an insane asylum who walks up and says stuff like that, you're instantly on the back foot, aren't you? You know that she's a little bit bonkers.
As soon as anyone says that, you're immediately frightened. So it has the exact opposite effect. If someone walks up to you and says that, and you know that there's something wrong with them, yeah, I'd just run.
Yeah, she's talking about, I won't hurt you, don't worry. You think, I think you might hurt me, I'm a little bit scared. And yeah, she's just nuts. And then we meet multiple Malcolm.
We don't find out that he's multiple Malcolm straight away, do we? Which
No,
we're not.
first of all, I thought he was staff in the hospital.
I just thought he was just. I mean, I thought he was a patient, but I didn't know what his deal was. I mean, he comes across as quite charming to whatever her name is. She clearly falls for it.
Yeah, but he comes across as because he's for 1 minute he's Michael Phelps, then he's Mark Zuckerberg, and then he pretends to be Charles, doesn't he? So whether he
Yeah.
actually is, or whether that's part of his, because he's obviously schizophrenic. But the strange thing is, he just introduces himself, sits down with Nika, and the next minute he's given a one in the wheelchair. What's that all
Okay.
about?
I mean, you'd go to a bedroom. I mean, I don't know. It caught me by surprise.
Yeah,
It
it's
caught me
15 minutes
massively by
in the
surprise.
stairwell, and he's given her one. And she's making all the appropriate noises. But she's meant to be kind of has no
Paralyzed.
feeling, yeah, from the waist downwards. So why is she giving it the old when she can't even feel it? Surely she'd be sitting there as if, like, you finish yet? Have you come yet? That's
See,
what I'd expect.
I thought this, but then I thought, like, maybe some of the internal organs still have some feeling, because obviously it goes up into your ovaries and whatnot, and everything's connected. So I was thinking, where does it genuinely cut off? Because
Did you say it goes up into your poo region?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how far. Kelly, where are the ovaries?
I knew that was coming. I would say if they're saying you're paralyzed from the waist down, you can't feel much.
No.
Yeah, but like, does this mean she just like poos herself then and pisses herself?
Well, potentially, yeah, because you'd have no sensation. It depends how like specific they are being with how paralyzed she is,
And
because
this is my point.
if it's just her lower limbs, then no, it would just be her leg, so you would feel everything, so you're fine. But if it's waist down, then I would suggest she'd need a bag or some kind of assistance in that area.
And she doesn't, so
No.
that leads me to believe it's just her legs that are paralyzed and that she can. Either way, unnecessary scene.
I
Added
love
nothing.
your poo region comment as if, like, is the vagina near the poo region? What,
It goes behind it, doesn't it? Because,
vagina?
well, like, say the vagina, well, the vagina's at the front and
Oh, you know that bit.
tunnel's the
Okay.
back. So,
That's good
obviously,
to know. I'm glad you've got that
one's
down
behind
and
the
sorted.
other. I'm just concerned because she doesn't seem to be wearing adult nappies and she doesn't have a bag. So, I would assume she can feel sensation. She has her legs bolt outright straight as well, which leads me to believe that she's, not acting as a woman in a wheelchair very well. Regardless, we've spent too much time on this topic. Let's move on.
I could listen to you all night trying to work out where the vagina is and where it goes.
Honestly, it's a mystery. The woman's body is a mystery to me.
See, if we had Neil on the podcast, that we'd have had this conversation done and dusted about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, he's our resident vaginal expert though. So,
wow, that is a title and a half. You're giving him a lot of credit.
Yeah, that man is a god to me.
Exactly,
Right,
exactly.
okay.
We walk in his shadow.
Yeah, and that's just a shadow of his cock.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyway, so we're introduced to a group session where more of the characters, and it's good in these kind of horror films, I suppose it's like a horror comedy. The more people we get, the more victims. It's just like Wrong Turn and Halloween. You get a big cohort of people, and you think, excellent, they're all going to die in quite grisly ways. And we're introduced to Grace. And I don't really know what Grace's problem is. That you don't, it's not very, very clear as to what's happened to her. But we're introduced to Madeline. And it's obvious that we find out later on that Madeline had killed one of her kids or both of her kids. And that's why she's in the asylum and that she's trying to kind of work through her problems. But they're quite an eclectic bunch. And I kind of thought it would be a lot more kind of anger, a lot more situational kind of horrific incidents between these lot, but they're just quite passive, aren't
Well, this is a more relaxed
they?
establishment, isn't it? It's like a, I don't know what the equivalent would be in terms of prison, but
It's a
like there's no,
medium risk, isn't it?
yeah, so they're obviously not full blown mentally unwell, so there's, yeah, so I wouldn't expect them to be like raging or anything.
No, I just love the characters in like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. They're all so bonkers and they're just kind of lovable characters. But in this, they're all pretty dark. I mean, sitting in on like a chaise lounge, you've got Angela, who's absolutely bonkers. But they're all kind of quizzing Nika because of what happens, and they call her a serial killer.
So why'd you do it?
Claire.
We're all wondering the same thing here, right?
Give her a break, okay? She's new.
Fuck that. If I'm gonna be living down the hallway from someone who butchered her whole family, I have a right to know what set her off.
Why'd you burn your house down?
You always bring that up.
I'm just saying, if we're pointing fingers here, then
I didn't kill anyone.
neither did Nika.
Chucky did it.
And to a kind of certain degree, I don't know how much under duress that when she says, yeah, I did do it, and Chucky is my imagination, I don't know how much she's trying to fool herself or fool the doctor. Do you, when she admits to certain things?
It's been fed into her, hasn't it? That Chucky doesn't exist and she has made it up. So I think half of her still believes it and half of her is just doing it to keep everyone happy.
Yes, I don't know how much she uses it for kind of leverage to gain status, especially when she's new to this place, and that they're all talking to her in this group about it, and then she starts laughing, and everyone's saying, do you think it's funny that all those people died? And it's almost as if she doesn't give a fuck anymore, or she just thinks, I want to be top dog in this place. This is the way I'm going to be. But it does get really bizarre because then, for some reason, although he has to, Dr. Foley then brings out a Chucky doll.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Whoa. Is that
It's just a good guy doll. One of thousands made back in the 80s.
No, he said Chucky.
They had 50 different names. 2% of them were Chucky.
You're saying it's a coincidence?
Not at all. I paid for a Chucky.
When'd you get it?
Hot topic. Nika, this doesn't make you uncomfortable, does it?
No, not at all.
Purely for reaction from Nika, isn't it, Kels, as to why he does that?
Yeah, he knows it's a trigger for her and he knows it's going to send her a little bit crazy. And that way, I think he gets more control over her because I think he's possibly realizing that she's breaking out of thinking that she's crazy. And so he needs something to pull her back in. And that's the way to do it because it's going to set things off in her brain where she questions herself. And that's exactly what it does.
Possibly right. I never thought of it like that because he is hypnotizing her, and whilst he's hypnotizing her, he rapes her, and chances are he's doing it to all of the females, which is possibly why the patients are more female heavy in this facility, aren't they?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, to be honest, but yeah, he is abusing her when she's hypnotized, so yeah, that could be why. And I just think it's another way of controlling her and taking her back when she's appearing to do well.
So it's really weird because Madeline is the one that takes Chucky on as a son. And you'd think that because she killed her son, they use it as therapy. But surely that isn't good to have someone who's a child killer and you give them a child's doll. And especially when it's, I'm going to say this is my son and I killed my son. Any decent doctor worth half their wages wouldn't allow that to happen. It is fucking ridiculous. I know it's for the story, but it is ridiculous, isn't it?
It's very unprofessional.
It's absolute bollocks. It really is bollocks. And she walks around the facility and she's even later on breastfeeding the thing. And the nurse, Ashley, is there just watching, allowing it to happen.
It's just wrong.
Surely that's not going to make her feel better, the fact that she's breastfeeding a fucking baby. A baby that is kind of famed for killing loads of people as well. And she's a murderer herself. There's just nothing good about this whatsoever. There really, really isn't. So as we spoke about earlier, we're introduced to Tiffany Valentine, who is the girlfriend, who is the wife of the killer, Charles Lee Ray. And if you hadn't seen any of the previous ones, and Steve, you hadn't, and we hadn't had this conversation, when we watched this, did you know who she was? Did you know what was going on?
Not a fucking Scooby, but her voice grinds me to the core. It's fucking awful, isn't it?
Yeah. She'd be good in, like, the 50s, kind of like a bit of a Betty Boo character, isn't she? She's a very whiny voice, isn't she?
Yeah, it's very pin-up style. Just the whole thing.
She hasn't aged well. She is better in the older films. And she's quite funny in The Bride of Chucky, I have to say. Her character, it's quite hilarious. She goes in the facility and she just drops the bomb, doesn't she? Oh, by the way, Alice is dead.
How is she? She's dead, Miss Pierce. What?
Miss Valentine, I wish you had told me.
Oh, didn't I? I'm terribly sorry. I've just been going through an awful ordeal. But she's in a better place now, I know it.
It's quite funny. I don't know whether the doctor did know that and whether he's pretending he didn't to try and kind of make out that he's caring. Do you think that? I didn't really know what to make of it.
I didn't think he knew because I think he would have potentially prepared her for it a little bit. So I don't think he knew that. And it was just her way of getting in to manipulate the situation.
She brings a fucking Chucky doll as well, doesn't she? Suddenly it's like Toys R Us in the asylum, that there's loads of fucking Chucky dolls around.
She wanted you to have something.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
That's not the same.
No. This is a doll that they used in Alice's therapy to help her get over the past.
And we obviously learn the reasons why. And the film's called The Cult of Chucky, is that they're building more and more to try and take over the facility. And it's a while until we get to kind of our first death, really. And it's a pretty a shit death, to be honest. And first of all, Steve, what did you make out when you first saw, bearing in mind you'd not seen these before, Chucky with the facial expressions walking down the corridor carrying a scalpel?
It's quite comical, isn't it? You always think if you face this doll, you could do better than everyone else does in this film. I don't know if I'd be scared of it if I saw that.
No, it's weird, isn't it? And the voice, as me and Kelly were talking, it's like Danny DeVito, isn't it?
Yeah. Actually, that's what I was thinking when I was watching yesterday. I was trying to think who it was like. But yeah, that's hit the nail on the head.
It's really strange. And Chucky's walking down the corridor trying to find Nika. And he walks in and bumps into Angela. And unlucky for him, for once, I actually felt sorry for Chucky because he's trying to be quite imposing. And Angela's just standing there saying, "Can you see me?
Where's Nika?"
"Last door on the right. You can see me."
"Yeah, I can see you."
"Don't be afraid."
"What?
I'm not going to hurt you."
You fucking with me?
No, I'm not. Tell you the truth, I'm happy to have the company, even if you aren't real.
Okay, let me explain something to you. I am a vintage, mass-marketed children's toy from the 80s. Standing right in front of you, holding a very sharp scalpel.
And he even gets frustrated himself, doesn't he? Which is quite a comical scene.
It is, but I just want to go back a little bit. They're in a mental hospital, asylum, whatever the correct way is to say that. And he can literally just walk up to a drawer and pull out a scalpel. With no security, no nothing. With all these people that want to kill each other, themselves, staff, all of that. And you can just get a ridiculously sharp scalpel out of a drawer like a pair of scissors.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
But then the patients, I know it's medium risks, like security, but the patients are then walking around. I mean, Angela's just got a door open and just walking around wherever she wants. And if she even says to Chucky, I'm schizophrenic, I see things. And Chucky's like, oh, you're next then, I'll come back for you. And she just is quite happy. She's not bothered in the slightest. And the comments by Chucky is like, she's fucking cuckoo, that one. It just did make me laugh. I liked it. It was kind of light humour that I actually needed. And I didn't know this film is padded out massively. And when he goes into Nika's room and you see her laying there and she's kind of cut her wrist of one of the spokes of her wheelchair, I kind of, first of all, thought this was like a dream sequence. Did you guys?
No.
No. Just you, mate.
It's just me again. That's, damn, that is embarrassing. I thought someone would be on my side. But she wakes up and where she actually did cut her wrist to commit suicide. And I don't understand why she did that. Why do you think? Is it because of the Chuckies?
Well, I've taken it that it's because they're back and she can't face going through it again. So rather than him possess her and cause issues to her and other people, she's going to try and end it so that she can't be involved in it.
What? So she's trying to protect everyone else and kill herself?
Yeah, well, that's what I assumed.
What was your take on that then, Steve?
Fuck knows. I don't know if I cared enough.
Well, that's an honest response.
That is an honest response.
I'm going to be entirely honest. I must have picked up my phone during this scene because I thought Chucky came in and cut the spoke so her wheel would like buckle. So I've completely just got the wheel wrong.
Brilliant.
You're watching a different film there, my friend.
Now it explains where the blood comes from that he writes in. Wow. Yeah, this, it makes more sense that way. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And but he does the decent thing. He actually stitches her up as well because he doesn't want her to die. And he writes in the puddle of blood. And she doesn't want Carlos, who's one of the nurses, Nurse Carlos, to see the puddle where he's wrote, not so fast, being you're not going to die just yet. And she throws the pillow in the puddle of blood to try and hide it. But surely at some point, they're going to do the washing and discover a pillow with shitloads of blood on it, aren't they?
I mean, this place isn't the most vigilant in terms of staff. Like, this woman is paraplegic. Is that the right word? That's the right word. And her pillow is now on the floor. And what is he going to do? Not help her?
Yeah, like, I thought that.
You pick it up and then she's like, I need to get changed. You've just asked for it. It's very suspicious. And he's just like, right. Okay, yeah. I'll leave with these really suspicious circumstances.
I know, it's like she had no legs and they just hang her clothes up really high. It just wouldn't make sense, would it?
No, but yeah, you're right. At some point, someone will do the washing. Maybe it'll be Ange. Also, quickly, I just want to, before I forget, when Nika originally came in, matey boy Carlos said it's Angela or Pam. They rotate shift. Did we ever meet Pam?
No, never meet Pam at all. It just seems to be Nurse Ashley all the time who's on, which I don't mind. I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah, that's. I reckon
she doesn't last too long, though, does she?
Yeah, maybe Pam would have been the nurse who got her boobs out, and we just missed.
I reckon Pam's filth.
Yeah, that's probably why she wasn't working, because she was doing her evening job as a stripper.
Yeah, she got banned because she just couldn't put her Teddy Bojangles away.
Exactly. That's the story I'm sticking to, and I love it. But we learn that, sadly, good old Angela was killed. And then they try and sow that seed in the audience mind, which is complete failure. It's a massive mishit. Did Nika do it? Did Chucky do it? And that's where they're meant to make us think. And it just doesn't work, does it? Because you either A, don't give a shit, B, know that Chucky did it.
You know that Chucky did it because Angela was out unconscious because she'd lost all her blood.
Because I thought it was like a dream sequence. What actually happened, I don't know. But it doesn't make, because it's pointless anyway. Who gives a shit? But we do see footage that Andrew, who's the original guy from the original film, did go to see the hospital and in front of Dr. Foley presented the head of Chucky and shot it with a fucking nail gun to try and show that it was real. I mean, what's that all about? As if that's ever going to work. You're going to go to an insane asylum and with a head of Chucky and shoot it with a nail gun and tell a doctor who looks after mental people that it's real. Like, you're never on to a winner, are you?
I was surprised they let him go, to be honest.
Mm. It's just ridiculous. Even Chucky takes a piss out of him about that, doesn't he?
He kind of deserves it, though, doesn't he?
Oh, he deserves it 100%. It's just absolutely fucking pointless. And this film is padded out so much with different things. And again, when they're all having their kind of group therapy session, that Nika says, this doll is real. And when Dr. Foley gets his Zippo lighter out and starts burning and melting the fingers of it, and as an audience, we're meant to be expecting him to jump and run away and shit like that. There was no suspense there. You knew nothing was going to happen, didn't you?
It would have been funny if he did just jump off the sofa and, like, pitter-patter off.
It's obvious that Madeline was the one who had the Chucky doll and was looking after it. And there was just, again, the tension, the lack of tension there is pointless. And I don't understand why she goes outside to the grave and they see her. She goes into the courtyard and she's standing around the grave and she chucks the Chucky doll in the grave. Why is that? Has she been told by Chucky to do this?
He whispers something to her, doesn't he?
And is that what he whispers to her?
I don't know, because I didn't understand this scene, to be honest with you. But she like holds the doll up to her face, doesn't she? As if she's listening to something that he's saying. And then she throws him in. So I'm presuming he tells her to do that.
There's no reason, is there? Because he's possessed, and we know that, because later on he punches himself out the ground. But also at the same time, Claire's got a doll who doesn't believe it's real. And that doll comes alive and bites her on the wrist. And she has an obvious freak out. And that doll runs into like the air vents or the washing bit and just vanishes. And because of that, she ends up getting kind of sedated and put in this room and like this kind of padded room on this bed, looking up at this outside through this skylight. And it's just really weird. I don't understand the point of what Madeline's trying to do, because it doesn't play out. It doesn't make any sense, does it?
Maybe it's because she thinks it's her baby and her baby is dead, so she's burying it.
I think you're giving it way too much credit then. Because even Chucky, I do like the fact that whilst Nick is looking out the window to see what Madeline's doing, Chucky gives her the bird, which is good fun. I don't understand the relevance of chucking it in the hole. And it's then Michael comes out, or Malcolm, or Michael Phelps, whoever, or Mark Zuckerberg comes out, and he's talking to her. And suddenly, like, he looks up at her with this stupid smile, as if he's possessed, because he's pushed in the grave by Madeline. So are we meant to believe whilst he's in the grave with Chucky, Chucky's possessed him? Is that what they're trying to tell us? Because they don't show us, do they?
I'm guessing that's what they're trying to infer.
I don't understand. I really don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. Steve, do you kind of give a fuck? Or were you looking at your phone at this point?
No, I watched this scene. And I wish I hadn't, because I don't know what's happening. It's like grave diving becomes a sport or something. It's really fucked up.
I can only assume that whilst Chucky's in the grave and whilst Malcolm's fallen into the grave, that he's kind of possessed himself, or that's what they're trying to say, because he then lifts Chucky out and gives him to Madeline, and then the staff help Michael or Malcolm out, and he then looks up this stupid, meant to be evil grin at Nika looking out the window. That's all I could get from it. But later on in the film, she dismisses that fact, or when she's possessed herself, dismisses that fact. What did you think of the scene of Claire when she's strapped looking at the snow from this window, and then this little Chucky comes in with this compressed air canister, and he just speaks to her, and he breaks the glass by firing this canister, and it all shattered glass comes down and cuts her head off. What did you think of that, Kel?
I enjoyed it. It was quite good, but at the same time, it would never happen. It would be fucking painful because you'd get glass everywhere, but there's no fucking way it would cut your head off.
No, and
Not a
this death was
chance.
done in The Bride of Chucky as well. It's kind of a copy of when they go to Niagara Falls
Oh,
and
okay.
they're on like a waterbed, and above the waterbed is like a mirrored ceiling, and they break the glass, and all the glass comes down like the mirror and kills the couple in like loads of different bits. So they're kind of just ripped off
No.
from their own film. But it's taken ages. I mean, it's 45 minutes, 44 minutes for our first visual death that we're going to go and see. And for a horror film, it's a bit slow paced, isn't it?
Doesn't feel like a horror film, though, does it? It doesn't feel
No.
very tense, or doesn't feel scary. It could be its own scary movie, like a kind of piss take ripoff, but it's just not. It's not scary. It's not the death scenes aren't horrible. Glass. Well, I don't know what glass they're using, but it's all ridiculous. It's far fetched. I hated it.
And it's strange because it then goes back to Andy Barclay, who's got another Chucky, who's got his head kind of shaved and cropped, all nice and short. And then you learn that he's on a mission and he leaves his house. We don't know where he's going yet. And then it flashes to Nika, who's in a therapy session with Dr. Foley. And that's when he learns, or what we learn as the viewer, that I think he hypnotizes her now, he sedates her. And then that's when he starts to, or the audience learn that he has raped her in the past, or sexually assaulted her for sure. And before he can get his wicked way again, does he kind of put the seed in her mind when he hypnotizes her that she is guilty? So she's constantly having that feeling of guilt. Because I kind of got that feeling that he wasn't doing it also to, obviously to rape her, but was doing it to put that feeling of guilt, like being responsible for the crimes in her mind.
Maybe it's just easier for him from a career point of view just to be like, yep, she's definitely the murderer. If I can make her believe it, then, everyone will believe it and it just gets rid of police investigations. So maybe he is planting the seed.
Yeah, it was really, really weird. I didn't know whether he kind of made her out to be the killer for kudos, as in, like, we have got this multiple murderer here in our facility. It's like when you got Michael Myers in the facility in Halloween 2018, that it's massive kudos to say you've got Michael Myers like as one of your kind of residents there. But he does kiss her. And when he's going to have his wicked way of her, Chucky then gets a bottle and just smashes it over his head.
Holy shit! And they call me sick? This guy is diabolical. I mean, what a piece of work. I'm actually a little envious.
The next thing you see is she's crawling down the corridor and she sees Alice. And then the worst special effects come with a big 6 foot or 5 foot Chucky standing over her. It's a padded out, unneeded scene, isn't it?
Completely. Yeah, but I guess that's what the electric shock stuff is supposed to do. It kind of builds this shit into her brain so she believes it's real.
It's just, but for us, who gives a shit? They try and make it so deep and have so many different layers. And on a Chucky film, who cares about the layers of what she's going through psychologically? I couldn't give a shit. I want people to die in really grisly deaths. You just don't see that. Well, not until the end, until Multiple Malcolm gets it. But it's just, why are they giving us all this philosophy and bollocks like that? Because the film isn't clever enough for it to work like that, is it?
No, not at all.
I just don't like it. And then we see very, very fucking strange. We see Madeline breastfeeding Chucky. And then she goes over and she smothers him. And this was, I suppose, in a way, quite brutal because this is what she would have done to her own child, isn't it?
In some way, I guess so. Yeah, it must be.
So
It's
I
just
found,
weird.
yeah, it was quite uncomfortable viewing in a way, because that obviously does happen and that's quite brutal. And I thought that's, and she plays someone who's quite upset and emotional, like really well. And she does play someone who's going through like a breakdown really well. And that's quite believable. I mean, the acting is terrible in this film. Really, I thought she actually did kill this Chucky, to be honest. And when he starts talking, that you realise, oh, for Christ's sake, it's going on and on and on. And then they have a fucking funeral, don't they?
Do they?
They bury Chucky.
Yeah. They have like a priest and everything,
oh,
didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did.
What on earth is that about? Is that meant to be closure for her? So they'd actually get a priest in for a fucking funeral?
I imagine so. I imagine it's them trying to be respectful because she's lost another child. So they wanted, and because to her it was real, they want to give the full impression that it was real. So give it a proper funeral as well.
Well, she fucking killed that child. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
How do they know it's dead though?
Because it's a fucking doll and it's a stupid fucking film and we're looking too much into it.
It's absolute nonsense. It really is. And then what made me laugh, I don't know what America's like with regards to getting yourself chucked into an insane asylum. Andy Barclay turns up and says, I want to see Dr. Foley. I want to see Nika. No. And he says, you can't. He goes, it's all shut right now. And then, so he's not going to get in. He goes, well, I want to commit myself. So he then punches a security guard in the face. Next thing you see, bang, he's in a padded room. It doesn't work like that, surely.
Now, that to me would be a crime and would result in you going to other places.
Mental. It really is mental. And whilst he's doing that, Nick is looking out the window and then you've got a recreation of the living dead with Chucky punching himself out of the ground and he's come back to life. And then Dr. Foley gets the Chucky that Andy Barclay sent him earlier with the shaved head. So you've got a facility all of a sudden with three Chuckies. It's just nonsense, isn't it? And no one's asking any questions. And throughout all of these films, someone gets a Chucky sent to them in a box. They go, oh, it's a good guy doll. I didn't ask for that. I wonder where it came from. And they all keep it. It's just, and this happens three times in the same film. It's just absolute bollocks. We do start to get kind of some good deaths that actually do happen. And the next death, I believe, is Madeline, where Chucky comes out of the ground. I don't quite understand what's happening here, because she lets Chucky put his hand into her mouth and she dies by him pulling her voice box out of her throat. What's someone... try and please put some logic behind this.
There is none to put behind it. It was ridiculous, made no sense, was completely unnecessary, and was just shit.
But did she want to die? Was that her sacrificing herself for what happened, Steve?
I reckon there was a little clip we didn't see where she's like trying to test my gag reflex, and he completely. Got the wrong end of the stick and bam, hand down a throw at.
It's just really bizarre, isn't it? Because I thought that she'd try and embrace Chucky and then he turned violent and go, no, you tried to kill me, now I'm going to kill you. But she lets him just put his whole fist in her mouth and rip her fucking voice box out. It's really strange. And again, we see that the seedy, sleazy Dr. Foley takes Nika in his office and he buys her some red shoes. So he's going full on kink here. And then he wants to have his wicked way. And yet again, Chucky's there, recreating exactly the same scene we've seen already. He smashes him over the head with a bottle. And then we're first introduced to our three Chuckies in the same room. It's a very fucking strange scene. One of them has got a drill. One of them's got a scalpel. The other one's got a knife.
What the hell happened to you? You know, I love being me, and I love my job. Especially the look on my victim's face when they realize in that final moment that it's all really happening. A children's toy is actually beating them to death with a yardstick, or setting them on fire, eviscerating them.
They're all mental, and the poor fucker, Carlos, whoops into the room. And as you would do, he just stands there, must be watching for about 10 seconds before he gets fucking killed. What is going on? It's ridiculous, isn't it?
You wouldn't let that happen, though, would you? You've heard rumours about a Chucky doll killing people. If you walked in and saw three of them there, start coming, you would be kicking, wouldn't you? But he just takes it like a fucking loser.
Yeah, and the conversation between them all isn't funny. I know it's meant to be amusing. It's just shit padded out dialogue for no reason, isn't it, Cal?
Yeah, it's not needed. You know that they're crazy and they're possessed. You don't need it.
He made the funniest face when I drilled him. Did you see the steam when I sliced open his guts? I never felt so alive! Yeah, well, you've been alive for like 2 minutes. Welcome to the cult, pal. Thanks. You guys are the best.
It's so bad. It's just it's so bad, but it's not even funny bad. They just haven't got it right at all.
No, the only kind of continuity I did like was when a security guard goes out and he does see Tiffany Valentine's car parked there, and she's got the doll in the back, which is from the bride, and she's been taken over. She's an actress, and when they go to in the Seed of Chucky, at the start of the film, Tiffany Valentine dies, and they go to Hollywood. And they meet the actress who plays her, and she gets possessed. So they've got that kind of continuity in the film. So she does die, but comes back, and she has a nail file which she cuts people's throats with. So you've got that kind of continuity. And instead of killing Nika, which he was first of all going to do, that he possesses her. And she gets possessed pretty easy. And because she's possessed, she can stand up. And that whole scene from her getting out of that wheelchair and standing up is ridiculous. The acting is terrible, isn't it, guys?
The way she's pulled out of the thing where her legs don't even bend. But if your legs are going to work, your legs would bend.
Yeah, it's nonsense. It's
just shite.
But it's good, though, when she stands on the doctor's head and just stamps his head. But all those times she's been assaulted, though, she's been sexually assaulted and raped by him. She gets a massive revenge, doesn't she?
I knew you'd like that. That's exactly when it was happening. I was like, Stu's going to love this.
Yeah, the baddie gets it. I do like that when the baddies get it. And when you think all of the patients, the vulnerable people that he's actually taken advantage of, and justice comes pretty swift in a like a size 7 red shoe with a massive heel. And she adopts...
But he bought her.
That he actually bought her, which is the irony there. So Charles Lee Ray is now, for want of a better word, inside Nika. And her soul isn't her own anymore. And she's walking around the asylum. And this is what kind of puzzled me. We see the poor, sexy nurse Ashley laying there with a drill in her chest and she's dead. And Multiple Malcolm is saying that he did it and he's calling himself Charles. Nika, who's obviously possessed by another Charles, kind of says virtually that you're a tourist, you didn't do that.
Who am I now?
You're a fucking poser. You're sick. And not in the fun way like me.
Nika?
Nika's taking a nap. And I'm gonna make sure she never wakes up.
I just want to be someone who matters. But I'm not Mark. I'm not Michael. I'm not... And just Malcolm.
I didn't know, is this Multiple Malcolm being schizophrenic and it's another character and he didn't actually kill the nurse and someone else did? What was going on here? I didn't quite understand it. The dialogue and the way it was built up was shit.
I kind of took it that he was trying, he was a wannabe Chucky. And so
he wasn't possessing?
No.
Right. Steve, is that the way you took it, that he wasn't possessed, that he was just, this was part of his schizophrenia?
Yeah, I did actually, because I think when there was like a little bit of a back and forward from Nika, she's kind he kind of really backs down and looks a bit afraid, which if he was genuinely possessed by this Charles bloke, he'd be a bit more boisterous, but he looks very timid. And see, I think he was just adopting a persona that he's heard about, because I mean, he's not been possessed by Mark Zuckerberg or Michael Phelps. It's just persona he takes on. So I think that's just another case of what's happened.
Yeah, it's strange. You say rightly so, he does back down. And when he's on his knees, the drill goes through his head out his eye. Cal, what did you think of this death? For me, this is the best death in the film.
I really enjoyed it. It was probably the most gruesome one. And realistic, I guess. If you drilled someone's face, that is probably what would happen. So, yeah, I quite liked it.
I did. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. If every death would have been as gory as this, it would have been much better. And the weird shaved head Chucky brought into the asylum by Andy, then goes to attack him. And it's a really poor fight, isn't it? Someone fighting a doll that is like 2 foot tall. They try and make this into a really adrenalized, exciting fight with massive stakes. And you just don't give a shit, do you?
You should do better.
It's rubbish. Absolutely rubbish. And do you know, I wondered what he was trying to get out of Chucky when he started to pull his dungarees down and fondle kind of down the front. I thought, what are you actually going for? But it's a gun that he's got hidden inside the doll, isn't it, Cal?
It is, but I don't understand why all of a sudden a doll's got human insides. And also, surely shooting him makes no difference because you've shot the other one, you've burnt the other one, you've cut the other one's half his face off. They've been buried, they've had everything done to them, and they don't die, so it seems pointless shooting him.
It seems when they get possessed, they are human inside, but they don't have...
How?
I don't know, it's just part of them being possessed, but they're not all human, because very much like Team America in The Bride of Chucky, you get Tiffany and Charles Lee Ray, and they have sex as dolls, and they then... Yeah, and there's like a lovemaking scene, and it's really, really weird. So inside, they are kind of human because they've been possessed. I think it just makes it that there is blood and guts. That's the only reason why they do it, because
yeah,
it's pointless. And I think it's meant to be for shock factor. But for someone who has got in his lodge, and we learn that Andy has got assault rifles, machine guns, shotguns, sniper rifles, everything, that he can't work out how many bullets he's got left in his gun. And he only takes one gun. And it's a shitty little pistol. I mean, for all he's worth, he's a massive letdown in this film, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a fucking idiot.
Because he kills the doll that he brought in, and that's it. And surely he knows how they would die. Having had a Chucky, shooting him in the stomach 5-6 times... And he's still alive. He's just wasting ammunition. It was a real pointless scene. And he's meant to be the Chucky expert. And he kills him in the end by stamping on his fucking head. What is the point? Why did he fire so many bullets into him when it was just this? And Nika's there. And by the time she's standing there, he's run out of bullets. And he just ends up locked in the padded room, doesn't he?
You kill me, you kill her. Think about it.
Yeah, thinking is for losers.
Tag, you're it, pal.
No!
Which is probably a safer place to be, in all fairness.
Yeah, oh, 100%. But explain this as well. He's locked in the padded room. Nick is going to make an escape. And then it flashes onto the Chucky doll with the one arm who escaped from the ground. And then... his face kind of goes vacant and they pan away from him. So does that mean that he's dead? What's actually happened to him? It doesn't make any sense because he was possessed and then suddenly he dies all of a sudden.
I'm guessing that's because the spirit of Chucky is now possessing Nika.
Yeah, it's unclear, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you had multiple characters, but you've got Tiffany Valentine, and you've got the doll as well in the back of the car that we know works. So why doesn't any of the other dolls work? I mean, I know, as you say, we're asking too many questions for a film, but shit. It ends up with Nika and Tiffany, which is a confusing mixture because inside that she's Charles Lee Ray, driving off into the sunset on some kind of adventure. And there, I don't know if there is going to be another film. And that's the way the film ends. That she just escapes, the baddie wins, which is... very strange. They obviously want another franchise and it to carry on, but it's a really weird ending, isn't it?
Hey, sweet face. Good to see you back on your feet.
You look great, Tiff. So this is different.
I don't know. Worse for me.
Some things never change, though.
A true classic never goes out of style. You said that to me once, after stabbing a man 39 times.
It leaves it open for the next one, doesn't it?
That's so ballsy because it's such a shit film that But I suppose they've made 8 films and they made a TV series.
That's painful.
I've never seen the TV series and I'm never going to watch it. I honestly won't. But, I mean, Steve, this is the first time you've seen any of these and I really apologise. We've chucked you in a Cult of Chucky. But what's your thoughts and feelings on the 2017 Cult of Chucky?
It was an hour and a half too long.
Yes, it was.
And Kel, I'm not doing this just to be a dick, and I'm sure
no, crack on.
It was just a fucking bad. It was a bad choice. It was.
It was.
But you're forgiven because your movie knowledge isn't as as good as Stu and I. So you probably thought you were picking a really good horror film when in fact it was disastrous. If you haven't watched any of the other films, you're going to be left with questions and wondering who's that, why is this happening, what's going on. It doesn't make me want to go back and watch any of the other films.
No, what would you give it out of 5? I can't wait to find out how generous you're going to be.
I'm not going to give it anything.
Wow.
Do you know what? I'm surprised though, because I don't often, I'll watch the film first and then I'll go and look at it on like IMDb and this, that and the other. On Rotten Tomatoes, it's got like 82%.
That's such a fucking reflection on Rotten Tomatoes, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. It's made me question everything they do now, because that's a bold score for this film.
Yeah, and I think it's just because of like the cult following that for some reason it's got. It's one of those ones that it's so bad, it's good that you've got to watch it, because it's just like that. And this film really falls into that category that it's just so poor. I mean, Kelly, what's your thoughts then? I'm sure you're going to score it the same as Steve.
I am. I'm not going to give it a score, I'm afraid. It is shite. I didn't expect it to be a great horror film. I've never seen any of them before. So I wasn't expecting it to be amazing, but I didn't expect it to be this bad because Chucky was so notorious. I wasn't expecting miraculous things, but I have to apologize. It is a shocking choice, and there's nothing good about it whatsoever. I can't compliment any of it.
I watched fucking 4 films, and I'm glad I did, because I got an understanding, and I need to get an understanding because my OCD, I have to watch it, and I always ask lots of questions, as you know. Anyway, it was good to know that I wasted that time in my life and I'll never get it back, because it didn't really add anything to it. But it was mild entertaining watching this, because the continuity is that it's shit all the way through, and that they didn't learn from Bride of Chucky, Seed of Chucky, Cult of Chucky, Curse of Chucky. It's all pretty much the same, but set in different situations. And it's just so poor. And it's amazing when you watch all of them, you think, wow, how can this be funded to get another film? And that people, a test audience, can watch this and come back and just go, yeah, I enjoyed that. That was really, really good. It's quite impressive. I'm not going to give this film anything, because I fucking watched 4 of them. And it's just a terrible, terrible film. It really is. The remake with Aubrey Plaza, I didn't mind too much. It was a better version. But I will never, ever, ever watch a film with Chucky in again. I don't care if Monica Bellucci is naked all the way through the film. I will never, ever watch another Chucky film. They're absolutely fucking terrible. It's one of the worst franchises. I think this tops. We had Street Fighter by James, which nearly destroyed the film reel cast, because I just could not watch it because it was fucking terrible. Doom by Neil. And we had John Wick by me. You can choose that one. Or there's multiple. Shoot 'em Up by me. You could choose that one. That scored really low. I could confidently say, I think this is on Street Fighter level poor. It's that bad.
It is shocking. I can't defend it in any way. It's awful.
No, and it's left us in so speechless, shell-shocked with PTSD of this film. We've not actually decided what we're going to do next week. I feel dirty that we've actually spoken about this. I do. Yeah. I feel guilty that we're going to put it out on like Amazon Music and Spotify and iTunes. I honestly do. And I just want to apologise if you feel you have to go and watch this film. I've tried to explain it So you don't need to watch this film, but it's just fucking that bad. It's impressively poor. In a way, Kel, I kind of commend you on finding such a piece of shit.
Thank you. I'll take any compliment I can get on this one, especially.
It's just crazy. It'll be like me recommending Piranha 3DD, not because it's got Kelly Brooker with her tits out. That's the kind of thing. That's the level of depravity that this film is. It's absolutely shocking. If you need to watch it and you need to put yourself through it, it's on Netflix in the UK. I don't know how long for, because it's absolute turd. And yeah, watch the other films. There are other streaming platforms as well to watch if you want to put yourself through other shite films. But that is it this week. If you're still here, well done. Give yourself a pat on the back. And you can put the bottle of vodka down now, because the podcast is nearly over. Join us next week for some other film. I promise you, it's no pressure there at all. Nothing whatsoever. There is no pressure. It's going to be much better than this week. The film, I mean, not the podcast. But the podcast will probably be better as well, because Neil will be back on there. Take care. We'll be back next week. And thanks again. All the movie clips and music used in this podcast are the intellectual property rights of the respective copyright holder and used to only enhance your listening experience. And any infringement caused is unintended. Well, that's it now, and we will see you next week.